morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. My name is Rachel and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi Rachel.
We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of our fellowship in, and they'll be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey in recovery from alcoholism. And to start the sharing off, we have Kit. Kit, would you like to share?
Sure. Hi, my name's Kit. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Kit.
Hi, Kit.
My story, I'll start in high school since that's when I started drinking. I suppose pretty normal. Normal childhood. I have some alcoholics in my family, but neither of my parents are alcoholics. And they were loving and supportive, and they did their absolute best to, give me a loving and supportive home and a good education and everything. But I struggled so much in high school. I struggled to stay focused in school. I struggled to fit in. I struggled quite badly with various mental health things, and I couldn't understand why. And the people that I asked for answers of how do I cope, how do I manage my anxiety that I feel like is in my body and controlling a lot of my life. And like, I know I'm smart, I know I'm getting good grades in school, but I'm just struggling so much in class. Like, how do I live? And I did reach out for help. That's actually something that I've discovered in recovery, is that I did reach out for help at that point in time, and wasn't sort of believed that anything was going wrong, or I don't know quite what happened, but I know that I wasn't ready for help then. That wasn't my higher power, God's plan for me at that time. I had a lot of lessons in humility and becoming teachable to learn before I'd receive help. And so I turned to alcohol, and it was such a welcome relief from struggling. I remember my first drink. I was out to dinner with my parents and some of their friends, and I remember making all of the adults laugh and feeling like, oh, I like this person that I am. You know, it was like three sips of red wine or something. And yeah, just that, oh, I can fit in, I can manage. And that's what alcohol was for a really long time. It was a really welcome relief from not knowing how to live and from a lot of mental and physical pain. And yeah, and it got me through a lot as well. Like, the school I went to, like, you couldn't drink and go to class. But at university, I managed to like sit still in classes and focus because I'd often have a beer beforehand, and like that education has helped me a lot, and I reckon stood in between me and housing instability and various things. And alcohol was my solution, but when you use something like that as your solution, it creates a whole host of problems because I was just numbing myself from everything that I didn't know how to deal with, and all of these insecurities and everything that was just ruling my existence. And I turned my back on so much that I cared about. The more my drinking escalated and increased, and from the outside, a lot of people were surprised when I went to AA and sort of said that I had a drinking problem because I think everyone always thought that I was having fun, but my life had just become this really crazy manic existence of like going to the, from the next party to the other. And just, I was never in one place. I was living in Australia, and I think for about 7 months of last year, I wasn't actually at home in Melbourne. I was coming to Auckland a lot. I was in Europe, and I was just always on the run from everything and pretending to be this person who was carefree and having fun. And in that, I lost a lot. I never used my education for any work. So I really wasn't being a useful member of society. I didn't entirely lose touch with my family, but they didn't know anything about my life. They wouldn't even know what country I was in. They didn't know what I was doing. They didn't know who I was spending time with. And I wasn't putting in any effort with them. I was just thinking about myself, and I had a lot of resentment to them that this is what, that I just still didn't know how to cope and didn't know how to live. And I felt like a kid trying to be an adult and not knowing what to do. And yeah, drinking just took over. It got to the point where I would have a drink as soon as I walked, got home from wherever I was without even noticing, or just being like, you know what, to cure this hangover, another beer. And yeah, it just became crazy. And I didn't expect to give up drinking at all. I was totally committed. I thought that was my life. I thought alcohol was my best friend. And then I met another alcoholic, and I was in a particularly vulnerable spot. I think I'd just been on probably about 3 months of drinking every day, and I had a really big bender at the end of it where I did a lot of things that I regretted. And I met another alcoholic, and she shared her story of what her life was like in her 20s. And I heard myself, and I heard everything in my life. And I felt so relieved that she didn't stop drinking in her 20s. I'm in my 20s. She stopped drinking in her 40s. And I just saw it. I was like, I can get off this escalator now. I know that this is who I am and what I struggle with. And pretty much went straight to AA. And that was about 6 months ago now. So I haven't been in the fellowship that long. But oh, it's such a relief. Like, I think I'm so lucky that I have so much willingness to work this program, because it's giving me the tools that I've always wanted of how to communicate, how to understand my own emotions, how to be useful to others, just everything. Like, oh, I feel like I'm in primary school getting the lessons that I so sorely needed then. And my life has changed pretty dramatically in a short space of time. I'm pretty heavily involved with my family again. My grandmothers are quite old, and I'm involved in taking care of them. And I started another university degree, but this one's for me, and it's right, and I'm so excited about my future. And I'm relying very heavily on AA and God to guide my decisions, and I run everything by my sponsor. And yeah, the steps have given me so many tools, and oh, I'm hopeful for the future for the first time in my life at 27 years old, and that's just awesome. Yeah, thanks for asking me to share.
Thanks, Kit.
Thanks, Kit.
You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in this morning, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the next person to share is Sean.
Hi, I'm Sean. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Sean.
Yeah, nice to be here today. yeah, my story, I started pretty young, 12 years old. I had my first taste of alcohol and absolutely loved it. Prior to that, I'd already been quite regularly smoking marijuana. So for me, it was just picking up a alcoholic drink was just kind of the natural thing to do. It was there. Plus, I was already pretty well versed in taking myself out of myself, if that makes sense, and you know, taking myself away from reality, I guess you could say. So, for me, at a young age, I'd already kind of I was already in a kind of a weird place in my life where I was quite anxious, just sort of kind of touched on that. I had a bit of anxiety and I think the beginnings of maybe depression, and I guess just trying to figure out where did I fit in the world and trying to figure things out in my upbringing. It was a pretty kind of tough upbringing. I didn't have the amazing supportive kind of parents. I mean, they were both there, but they were very, I guess you could say, you know, growing up in the 80s, I guess you raise your kids kind of like, I guess, I don't know, they might have been locked up today for some of the things they did. But, you know, I'm not, I guess people talk about resentments, and a lot of my resentments started from then, from when I was young, against my parents, you know. And I think being so young, it was just easy for me where I was to get my hands on marijuana. It wasn't easy for me to get my hands on alcohol. But then by the time I was 14, I was regularly, I stole most of my alcohol. I was blackout drinking from 14. And it didn't really improve from there. It started bad and it stayed bad. For me, but I kind of just coasted through life, really. Kind of did what I needed to do, tick the boxes I thought I needed to tick. I was pretty much what you'll call a functioning alcoholic, I guess you could say. Maybe not highly functioning, but functioning, you know, still going to work, still doing what I needed to do, still paying bills, still paying my rent, doing everything I needed to do, but getting completely blackout drunk on a regular basis, you know, and justifying why I behaved the way I behaved, you know, or pointing the finger or blaming whoever I needed to blame, never once kind of pointing the finger at myself or taking a look at myself. So to come to AA was a real eye-opener for me, you know. It was what brought me into AA. Like, I was 38 when I came to AA. I've been in the fellowship now for 5.5 years. I think when I was 30, I kind of decided, look, I'm 30 years old now. I can't be carrying on like this. I need to do something. So I went to CADS and tried that, and they tried to help me manage my drinking, but it just stayed bad. I mean, I didn't really know what an alcoholic was, so I kind of, I thought that I could just have 5 or 6 and be cool, and that's when I stopped, you know. But obviously that didn't work. So by the time I was 38, I was still drinking like I was drinking when I was a teenager. Nothing much had changed, really, the blackout drinking and the behaviour. So even when I came to AA, it was the only reason I came was because my missus left me and she took the children. And I thought that if I came, I started coming to AA, it would look good for her and she would come back and take me back. And I guess things turned out completely differently. Not how I expected anyway, or not how I thought they would go. I thought I would come to AA and go to a few meetings, and then my family would see that and then they'd take me back with open arms, and then I would never come back to AA. I think for me it was the start of a spiritual journey. I was never religious, and I was really confused coming to AA and hearing them say in the preamble, we're not allied with any religion. And then I was looking at God and people were talking about God, and I was like, how does that work? You know, I couldn't figure it out. So it took me a long time to get my head around that. Fortunately, I got a really good sponsor. I was celebrating my 30 days of sobriety, and I got approached by a guy who became my sponsor, and we started working the steps. And for me, I look back on that and I feel as though in many ways it saved my life, you know. The fact that this guy took time to work with me, at the time, I couldn't really figure it out. But now I know that's how we pass the message to the still suffering alcoholic, you know, is by working with newcomers. And that's what he was doing with me. I couldn't figure out why was he being so friendly, you know. I started working the steps, and then I sort of came to, you know, step one, yeah, I'm powerless, yeah, my life's completely unmanageable. And then going into step two and three, the high power, the God handing your will over, and I was like quite, oh my gosh, I don't believe in God. Can I still do this, you know? And he was real cool about it. Like, you know, you choose your own conception of God. You have willingness to believe there's something bigger than you out there. You know, there's a power greater than you. Can you do that? And I could get my head around that. And that's something for me that's quite huge in AA, you know, is to have this belief that there is something bigger than you out there. And you choose your own conception. And to me, I could do that. You know, it was the first time that had been put to me in such a way. I always thought God was the Christian God, and if you didn't follow these certain set of rules, you'd burn in hell for eternity. But that's what I was told anyway. But you know, for me, I've been on the spiritual journey, kind of connecting to something that's bigger than me on a daily basis, handing my will over, trying not to control everything, and helping other alcoholics. You know, a lot of my sobriety today revolves around service and helping newcomers the way I was helped. You know, I owe a debt to the guy that helped me, and I believe I'll be repaying that debt till the day I die, you know. And you know, I work my own daily program the best I can to my own ability, you know. I have prayer, I have meditation. It's funny, it's for a guy who never believed in God, and I pray every day, Jesus, you know. But, you know, for me, it's something I can get my head around now, you know. And it works for me. How I work my program works for me. There's a lot of suggested things. You know, get a sponsor, someone out that's been through the 12 steps to help you guide you through the 12 steps. Get a home group so you're not homeless, so you can start doing some service, as big or as little as that is, as bringing the milk or doing the dishes, you know. Start small and go from there. Connect to other alcoholics. Go for coffee. Build a network around yourself, you know, of other alcoholics. And we do this deal together, you know. Because when I came here, I was so alone. I was so alone, isolated. And I'm a master at isolating myself, you know. As soon as things turn to shit, yeah, I isolate. You know, it's the first thing I do. It's not natural for me to be around other humans. So, but I think, you know, I need that connection, and that connection for me starts in AA, it starts in meetings. I love going to meetings and hearing other people's experience, strength and hope, and hearing part of my journey and identifying with other people. It's a beautiful thing. So I feel truly blessed to have walked through the doors of AA and to have stuck around, you know, because I've seen a lot of people, you know, not stick around, and it's heartbreaking, you know. It's there's an amazing thing on offer here, you know, but we have to want it. We have to want it for ourselves, you know. So, God willing, I'll continue to keep coming back and doing what I need to do. You know, for me, today it's all about growth. You know, I'm here because I want to learn and grow and become a better Sean, a better version of myself. And putting alcohol or any other kind of drugs in my system puts pause on that, you know. So I'll keep coming back one day at a time. Thanks.
Thanks, Sean. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in this morning, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the last person to share this morning is Joel.
Hi, my name's Joel. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Joel.
Yeah, growing up, I had a pretty pretty sheltered life, I guess. I come from a background, my single mother, only child, so I think a lot that goes with that is, you know, being quite overprotected and sheltered from the world, I guess. you know, growing up, and my old man and uncles and that, they lived their own lives, and kind of the mother stayed at home, and you know, they were too busy drinking and stuff. But I was very kept in the dark about that. So yeah, I kind of grew up in this little kind of fairyland, and it wasn't kind of till, you know, I think maybe I was 16, 17, 18 that I started to, you know, really think about things for myself. And the more I decided that I wanted to kind of follow my own path. And the way that I thought that I wanted to do that was by just doing everything imaginable, you know, that I was kind of told not to do growing up. So I'm really good at doing things in excess. So anything that was put in front of me, I'm ready to do it, and ready to kind of, I think what I was trying to do was make up for the lost time, you know. So stupidly in my mind I was thinking, you know, everyone else was drinking that when they were younger, I wasn't. So by the time I hit 18 and left home, I just wanted to get into it. I thought that's what you do. And I think in New Zealand that's a really big thing. Like, drinking is such a such an ingrained kind of thing, built into society, and especially the friends that I had, it was just what you did. So I think I started my drinking what seemed to me at the time like normally. You drink until you finished everything, drink until you black out, until you can't anymore. And I kind of kept up that pattern from 18, 19, 20, and it kind of just kept going, it kept escalating, and I was never kind of made to take stock of that, to kind of think about it. I was very much just doing what I thought was expected. And, you know, I enjoyed it. Drinking to me opened up this whole world that I hadn't seen before. I could talk to people out, I could go out and talk to random strangers, and that was something that I could never do before. And I felt like I'd found this, this magic potion to just make my life a whole lot better. And I quickly discovered that that wasn't the case, that it wasn't making things better. And it took me a long time to realize that everything was kind of falling down around me. But I was happy to live and kind of live in ignorance for a long time. I look back now and it's all so clear that, that drinking was ruining my life. I was, going from job to job. I couldn't hold down a job for any length of time because I'd be missing work. I'd be, turning up drunk, turning up hungover. I couldn't maintain any relationships. I think I was just attracted to that same level of toxicity. I was attracted to people that were living the same life I did, and we'd just crash and burn together, and then I'd move on to the next thing. So basically it got to the point where I kind of looked around and I didn't have much to not much to call my own. I didn't have anything, and I thought I was just trudging along through the mud. I realized that drinking was a problem, that was the one factor that was holding my life back. So I thought I'd do something about that. And to me, that was just going cold turkey, white knuckling it. And that works for a month, I think, was the longest time that I went. But then after that month, it turned in straight away into a bender and I disappeared for, you know, 5 days. And, you know, I couldn't tell you what happened in that time. And then I just slipped back into that normal pattern of drinking. And, you know, while this is going on, I was lucky enough to have maybe fooled this woman into loving me, and we'd kind of built this life. I'd kind of somehow I'd managed to hold down a girlfriend, and, you know, things are going well. And but in the back of my mind, you know, I was still secretly drinking. I was still, you know, nothing had changed in my mind. I was still that, you know, still that person that needed that, that little magic, you know, that little drink to make things better, to make me feel, you know, make me feel better about myself, or maybe just to calm what was in my mind, or just to, yeah, it was just something that I felt like I couldn't live without. And it's not something that I could, it's not something that's maintainable. And so it got to the point where I was on the verge of losing my job. My partner had kicked me out. I was, you know, essentially homeless. You know, I'd kind of just given up hope. And, you know, I'd tried stuff to stop drinking before, because, you know, I'd realized that was the problem, but it hadn't worked. So I was just completely stuck. And, you know, I couldn't tell you what it was that made me walk into my first AA meeting. You know, I felt like I was at my rock bottom, but then again, I knew that I thought I'd been at my rock bottom before, and it had just got lower. So, you know, for whatever reason, I walked into that room, and it was, you know, terrifying. And, you know, I sat there and shook like a leaf. And then, I was lucky enough that someone said stick around, and I did. And, yeah, I think, and then a lot of it just happened by itself. Just being there and following the steps, getting a sponsor, meeting people, all the really simple stuff, you know, and just seeing other people, how they lived their lives and how they could achieve, you know, this, all the stuff that I wanted but never knew how to get. You know, just that encouragement. Going to every meeting and seeing, every time I go, I see someone that has a life that I want, and, you know, I can see that these are the steps that I can take to get there. And, you know, now I'm excited about what my life holds and where I can be. And, you know, I'm just so grateful for having walked into that room the first time. I'm excited. You know, for the first time, I've got kind of hope, and, you know, so I'm going to keep working with that. And, right, thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Joel. That brings us towards the end of our meeting. If you've been listening and identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can log on to aa.org.nz, and in the drop-down box under meetings lists, there's a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area and right throughout the country. You can also phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. We'll be back here next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA Meeting on Air. And we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.